Welcome to Is It Bedtime Yet? The podcast for parents about mental health and the experience of being a parent.
The podcast that discusses what it's like to be adults raising tiny humans that make us all ask, is it bedtime yet?
Hi, and welcome back to Is It Bedtime Yet? I'm Dr. Jen. Over there is Dr. Serene.
Hey.
Hey. And we have a special guest with us today. But before we get into that really quickly, we just wanted to give a quick shout out to our listeners. We've gotten so many emails, Instagram messages, Facebook messages from people either talking about specific episodes they like, giving us, you know, topics for future episodes. It's really been amazing.
It has. And when people share their stories and they relate to things that we've talked about on the podcast, that's awesome. And if you have a minute, check us out on iTunes or anywhere.
Google Music Play, yes. Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that stuff.
And please leave a comment in there because that would be super helpful to us.
Yeah, the best way you could support us really is to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to your podcast and rate and review. It's the best way you could support us. Thank you again. It really means a lot. It's humbling every time.
Absolutely.
It's exciting. We love hearing from you guys because you hear from us all the time. Right. And we have a special guest with us today. We have a fellow mom podcaster of Generation.mom, Laura Schulte. Her co-host isn't available because she's busy having another baby, hopefully soon. But we're really happy to have Laura here with us. So Laura, why don't you tell our guests a little bit about you and about Generation.mom?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Laura Schulte, and I, along with my co-host Jen Rout, we are in San Diego, California, and we started this podcast, an online community for moms to navigate modern day motherhood, because basically we did not know how to navigate modern day motherhood when we became moms. So not that long ago, really, our sons are 2.5, and like you just said, Jen is about to have her second. I've already had my second. He's 10 months old. So we've gone through a lot together in a very short period of time. So becoming moms of one, becoming moms of two, and birthing our third child, which is our podcast. So a lot. And you know, the reason Generation.mom came about is because Jen and I met in a baby group. So although our babies are, fun fact, one day apart in age, our oldest boys. Yeah. So it's funny. We were like literally in labor at the same time in hospitals right next door to each other. And I always feel bad because Jen, as you said, like we're waiting for baby right now. She goes like super late with her pregnancy. She was 42 weeks when she delivered her son. She was induced. It was a failed induction, ended in C-section. That's a story for another time. But she literally went into labor, was induced into labor like 2 days before me, like before I even went into labor, and she had the baby a day after me. So, like we always say like, oh, well, had we known each other then, you know, we could have like been on walkie-talkies talking to each other and supporting each other in that way. But no, truly, the reason why the podcast got started was because Jen and I met in a baby group. And in this baby group, we talked about baby things. And we talked about things like sleep training and how to feed your baby and when your baby should be rolling over and all these things. And our kids were like 3 months old. And we were like, wait, can we talk about like the real stuff that we're going through? Like how we're kind of afraid that we just ruined our life. Like we knew that we really didn't, but it felt like we did. Like we were having a really hard time, but we weren't talking about this anywhere, it felt like. You know, a couple years ago, a lot of the things that we were talking about in motherhood were not talked about to the same degree. And so Jen and I, one day, she invited me to lunch. And like literally, she is not a super vulnerable person, but I think that she felt so lonely and isolated in motherhood. She just like spilled out so much information in a matter of 15 minutes with a glass of wine that she's like, I've never really told anybody these things, but I'm telling you, is that weird? I'm like, no, it's not weird. I feel the same way. So we just became fast friends and really bonded over motherhood and our experiences. And what's funny is Jen and I are very different. We have different likes. I don't know if we would have ever become friends or been connected if it wasn't for motherhood. And it's so hard for me to say that because we're so close now, but it is just the way it is. So a few months after we had that lovely lunch, like literally we were at lunch and we have the babies in the ergos. And the waiter just kept bringing us champagne because he was like, I think these women need alcohol. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm not joking. Like,
that's
we
amazing.
Like kind of drank the champagne, but like, of course we had to be responsible. And anyway, so a few months later, we finally had the courage to go out without babies and like really take time for ourselves. So we went to dinner and like we went to a fancy dinner and we were having conversations about what we wanted for the year. So this is the beginning of 2018. And we thought we'd have an entire meal where we actually just talked about ourselves and not the babies. So we have this conversation and Jen's telling me that she really wants a creative outlet in her life. I have a background as a business and a life coach, and I was just feeling like I didn't want to get back into it. Like I did not feel like my voice was authentic in the corporate world anymore. And I wanted to pivot my audience to where it felt more authentic, which is motherhood. But I was like, who's going to listen to me? I've been a mom for like 8 months. Like I know nothing, but maybe I can start building a tribe. So anyway, we both like just had this conversation literally the next morning, this idea of a podcast like downloads into my brain. I'm like, Jen should do this with me. So we were taking our kids to music class because we did like all of the baby things together because we only had each other. And I met her for coffee beforehand. I was like, so I have this idea and it's going to be meet both of our needs and we're going to be able to like build this community and whatever. And she's like, why would you want to do this by yourself? Like, why wouldn't you want to do this by yourself? Like, this is a good idea. Like, you might be able to like make a business out of it. Like, and I was like, no. Like, I need you. I need you for so many reasons because first of all, you're a mom and you get it. So you're going to be able to like kind of lift my spirits when they're down because I can't get to the things. You're going to understand why maybe things aren't being done in time. You are going to hold me accountable. And also, you're different than I am. And I think our conversation would be way more dynamic than just hearing my voice. And we'll pull a larger audience. So she's like, all right, I'm in. So before you know it, like we're buying podcasting equipment that night on Amazon. We are looking into podcasting conferences. And we decide we're going to be podcasters. So this is about a year and a half ago at this point. And then we launched our podcast in June of 2018. And really what Generation Up Mom is about navigating modern day motherhood. So like I said, we are not the experts in motherhood. It's hard to say that anybody is an expert, like a real generalist in motherhood, right?
Absolutely.
We all maybe have like our expertise or something we know well. Maybe it's because we studied it, maybe because we have a lot of experience in something. But so what we decided was after, you know, probably 6 months of a lot of Jen and I talking and really just being vulnerable and sharing our own experiences, which I think there is a place for that within our podcast and we do that. But we decided that we were going to really highlight guests that we felt were either experts within motherhood, within a certain realm of motherhood, or they had really inspirational stories as moms. And then a lot of the time those were just our listeners. So that's kind of what the podcast became. Instead of being the expert, we believe that we are the guide. We are your guide in navigating modern day motherhood. And we believe that motherhood today looks much different than motherhood for previous generations. For one, we're having babies later in life. We have babies. I think the average age for women in America now, believe it or not, like this like blows my mind, but is 31 to have their first baby. And for our mother's generation, it was 25. So that is a huge leap in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it's a big shift.
It's a huge shift. Now, the other thing is that I feel like moms today are having more of identity crises once they become moms because they've had more time and they're working really hard to become these women, these successful women, or these women that are identifying with their careers and really is trying to stand up for womanhood and like all of these things, and then they become moms and like everything shifts because they've worked so hard for something. And the other thing is like at that point at 30 years old, like it's not that you haven't learned something in a really long time, but you haven't really been bad at something in a really long time. So all of a sudden you become a mom and like you really don't know what you're doing and you're kind of feel like you're failing, like you're not really good at this. And so I think it's a really hard shift for women in this generation because of that. The other thing that's changed, and I'm sure you guys can guess, and, you know, I'll just throw it out there if you want to guess. Like, what do you think has impacted our generation as mothers the most?
social media.
Yeah, just the internet.
So social media and technology. So that's exactly why we're called Generation.mom, because we are the moms of the .com generation. So not only was it like a super easy URL to purchase and like easy to brand, because we are literally a .mom, not a .com. It really was significant to us because we feel like the moms of the .com generation, like so much has shifted for us, and we can talk more about that, but that's kind of how things have evolved, why we exist, and what we're about.
So what do you think, I mean, you've kind of explained what modern day motherhood means. Mm-hmm. What do you think are the biggest struggles for modern day moms?
So first, I'll just like to say, I think that struggling is okay. So like if you are a mom and you're in the thick of it, like that's okay. These struggles are here to serve you. I know it may not feel like that right now, but it's really going to benefit you in the long run. And you're going to have hindsight and you're going to be like, oh, I'm glad I learned that lesson. It might not feel like, why am I learning this lesson right now? But I think it's going to benefit you. So be strong and manage through it, and you can do it. But I think the struggles are, you know, let's just talk about technology. Technology is amazing. It has helped us in so many ways. It also can really hurt us. And it can help us in ways that we have information at our fingertips. Like literally if our kid is throwing up in the middle of the night or has a fever or like any of the things, we can lean into Dr. Google and ask Dr. Google, what's wrong with my kid? Like, is my kid teething? Is my kid like really sick? Like, what are the things? But also it makes us overanalyze things and like really get overwhelmed by that. And then it's awesome to have all this information and opinion at our fingertips, but that's also super overwhelming. And how do we navigate through that? And how do we really own what's right for us versus what's right for everybody else that's online? And then, like you said, like social media. And social media, if you don't have good boundaries and understand how social media works, you're going to compare yourself all day long and you are going to get trapped in that dark hole of social media. Mm-hmm. And that's not a fun place to be. So I think that technology has changed things in that regard. Technology has also changed things in the way that we as women can continue to be working moms and be with our children. Now, do we do it perfectly? No. I have yet to meet a woman that feels like she has perfect balance between her work life and her home life. But because of technology, we now can work from home and stay at home, because a lot of companies are embracing remote positions for mothers. And we're also able to kind of start businesses from home. Look, we have all both started podcasts because of technology. This was something that did not exist in our mother's generation. And so I think that it allows us to kind of embrace opportunities outside of motherhood a little bit easier. Not that it doesn't have its challenges, but a little bit easier. And also just the way it's not perfect, but the way that females are, I don't want to say respected, but for the lack of a better word, I think that we are, in a way, like hopefully, and again, like we are kind of like in this tricky state, but looked upon more as like equal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's given us more opportunity to wait to have children and focus on our careers and all that thing. And then finally, like advances in medicine. I mean, more women are having children in their 30s and 40s than ever before because we have advancements in medicine and in our fertility. So all of that has really shifted motherhood, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like some of it's shifted for the better, some of it's shifted for the worse, but that it's all about finding the balance between all of that.
I would definitely agree.
Yeah, like, so how would you speak to the balance that you think would be required of modern day moms? Because like you said, there's a lot of anxiety in there. There's a lot of an overwhelming amount of information at your fingertips. But then there's also a way of connecting with other people, support, being able to broaden the kind of life you can have as a mother. How would you speak to that balance and how it could be achieved for a modern day mom?
So I don't really like the word balance. Mm-hmm. I think about this a lot in my own life. In fact, just a few days ago, I was really struggling. I was home with my kids, and I was also with my counterpart being on maternity leave. I'm working a lot, and I don't really have a lot of space to stop. And I was feeling super overwhelmed. I was kind of pissed at my kids because I wasn't having time to work, and I was kind of pissed at my work because I was being a crappy mom. And that really like just made me mad because I love my work. It fills me up. It's something I need to like go back to being a mom. And I love my kids. Like I want to just show up for them and be present and have fun and create joyful memories and all of that stuff. So I was like really in this hard space. And also like my kids are just like in these hard ages. Like my baby who's 10 months old, he is really active, very physical. He's like climbing on coffee tables. My first one was never like that. I mean, I think he's just a second of like a brother. So he sees his older brother seeing things, doing things, and he thinks he's two. And I'm like, you're not two, you're 10 months, chill out. And then my 2 year old is just like, he's two, right? So like we know what 2 year olds are like. They go from like being happy to being incredibly pissed off like in a matter of seconds. So like managing that just in itself is really, really hard. So I was having this conversation with my husband that like a few nights ago, and I was just like, this is like hard. I feel like I have no balance. Like I'm a horrible mom. I feel like I'm not showing up for myself at work. Like, and he's just like, you got to give yourself space. Like give yourself space, even if it's 5 minutes a day, an hour a week, like whatever, you've got to give yourself space to just think about nothing or like just kind of reflect on like how you can make this easier on yourself. And so what I did from there was I created boundaries. Like I thought about it. I like took the next morning, kind of took it off from like thinking about work, thinking about the kids. She's like, what is a different answer besides hiring more help or, you know, just not doing anything and like staying in this? Like I can't afford more help. And right now I want to be more with the kids. Like that's just not like where I'm at. So like those aren't good answers. What's another answer I can come up with? And so really the answer I came up with was like the days that I have help, I have to help 2 days a week. Like I'm all in on work. Like I'm all in. And the days that I'm with the kids, like I'm all in on being with the kids. So I don't take work calls even while they're napping. Well, these are new boundaries that I've set up, right? And I don't really, I mean, I check my email. Like, it's hard for me not to check my email. I need to get better about that. But I won't do actual work while they're napping on my family days. I'm focusing either on myself and giving myself the rest that I need, or I am doing something to help my family, like meal planning. So what I do believe in is not necessarily balance. I believe in boundaries and creating boundaries for yourself. And that's what I did. And it's only been, you know, a matter of 5 or 6 days since I've done that, but I feel like I owned it and I feel really, really good about that. And then I am a believer in that we can have it all. Like I know a lot of people say like, you can't have it all. I disagree with them, and I believe we can have it all. It's just not going to be perfect, and like expect that things aren't going to be perfect. And I'm a perfectionist, but if I want to work and I want to be with my kids and I want to be a stay-at-home, work-from-home mom and like all of these things, and I want to, you know, create passive income and like whatever else and help other women and travel with my family, like I can make it all work, but it's going to come with, I don't want to say consequence, but I have to understand that things aren't going to be done the way I necessarily want them to be. I cannot expect my mother, who helps me 2 days a week, to be a clone of myself. She's not as tidy as I am. She doesn't put the kids down to their schedule the way I do. But if I really want the help, I have to lean into what I have available to me. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel about balance, if that answers your question.
I think in your response, you touched on so many things that really resonated with me. And specifically when you, I'm going to try to paraphrase you as best as I can and do you justice, when you said, you were mad at your work for taking time away from your kids, and you were mad at your kids for them taking time away from your work. Mm-hmm. And that's something that definitely resonates. And I think how it translates in a lot of people is as guilt, as mm-hmm. guilt and shame for not being able to be present with their children, or guilt for not being able to meet deadlines or be ahead of deadlines, or you know, have better time management skills or whatever. And whatever story we tell ourselves, it's filled with such guilt when it comes to balancing our children and work. And I love how you took ownership of that. And I think that's something that is very doable. But I think in today's world, again, coming down on technology, for example, I got a text today. Today, I don't work today, but I got a text saying, check your email. We need this done ASAP. We need it done today. So I had to rush home and get on my laptop and, you know, finish that off. With that, I can see how you're right. There is no balance, because had this been 20 years ago, you know, work would have waited until I got into work the next day to finish that, right? There was
That's such a good point.
Urgency. So you're right. I mean, there really is no balance. It's kind of do what you got to do and set the best boundaries. And I love that you said that.
Yeah. And I was going to say, as therapists, obviously, we love discussion of boundaries. And I think that's a big part of self-care. Like, we talk a lot about self-care, and it sounds like what you did was, you know, when you said 5 or 6 days ago, you kind of decided that you were going to set this limit for your life and set these boundaries. That's self-care for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for saying that. It's a good reminder that I'm taking care of me, not just the family too.
Yeah. But I think being able to provide that kind of boundary for yourself that and providing yourself that kind of self-care is a way of being the best mom that you can be, being the best wife that you can be. Like, you're a better version of yourself when you provide yourself that kind of support and those kinds of boundaries. So that, you know, I think that's the best thing that you could do for yourself in times where you're feeling overwhelmed and stretched thin.
Thank you.
Another thing that you said that really resonated, and I was like, ooh, that kind of stings a little. when you talked about caretakers coming in and not really parenting, although their role isn't to parent, but not really being the type of caretaker that you wish them to be, you know, not putting them down at the time that you want them to be put down for a nap, or not feeding them certain things, or feeding them too much of certain things. You've talked on your podcast about being a type A, and you're very open about that. How does being a perfectionist and being type A translate into parenthood?
Yeah, so I will definitely say I'm type A and I'm a perfectionist. And this is something that I own. Like, it's not a joke. Like, when I talk about it on the podcast, like, it's not a joke. Like, this is who I am, and I own it, and I'm okay with it. And I kind of like the way I am. Like, I've accepted that about myself. And I feel like, for me, a long time ago, I realized that structure is really important. Like, I cannot breathe without structure. And sometimes it gets in the way of life. Like, if something doesn't go according to my plan, I kind of freak out and I kind of react. And I've really been working on learning how to respond versus react. And that takes a lot of listening and being aware of what's going on around you. But, you know, it's funny. People walk into my home all the time and they're like, kids live here. And I'm like, well, I have a playroom. Like, there's stuff in the playroom. But really, they're like, how do you keep up on, like, everything being where it's supposed to be? And the bottom line is, like, that's how I breathe. I know the types of environments that I need to be in order to really feel energized. And I know what types of environments and people and places are going to take energy from me. So not that I won't and spend time with somebody that is type B or maybe a little, like, wild and free about things, or maybe they're more practical in life. But I know that I can only tolerate that for a certain amount of time before I need to go back into my own environment. So it's not so much that it translates into parenthood, but it's that I know enough about myself to know, okay, if I'm going to be a good parent and I'm going to be here for my kids and I'm not going to teach my kids to be like me and be super meticulous, I'm just not going to teach them that. Like, they can figure it out for themselves if that's how they want to be. Or maybe, I actually won't say they figure it out for themselves. I will say that I think that we're born this way. I think I've always been this way. My room was always clean as a kid. My sister's room, on the other hand, not at all. And if you hung out with either of us today, as we're in our 30s, you would see that we're very different in that manner. But we respect each other for our differences. But no, truly, you know, I have to know my boundaries. I have to know my tolerance levels. And what types of environments and what types of activities are going to either drain me or fuel me with energy. And for me, a lot of what fuels me is kind of what goes along with being kind of type A and perfectionist, like my family's on schedules. And sometimes we're flexible, especially as the kids get older, we're able to be a little bit more flexible. But you're not going to see us at a party at 10 o'clock at night because our kids need to be in bed. Like, they need their bath. Like, we are used to our routine. Now, I see my two-year-old starting to pick up on a few things. Like, we don't wear shoes in the house. Sometimes people come in the house and they wear shoes and I'm just like, whatever. Like, I'll mop the floors when they leave. But my two-year-old has become really kind of a stickler for it. So when people walk in, like, he tells them, like, nope, take off your shoes. Like, I mean, he doesn't actually say that, but he's like pointing at their shoes and tells them to take them off. And then he wants to put them in the basket and like do the things. And then he takes off his shoes too. So I'm sure a lot of it is modeled behavior, but he may just like take after me in that way. And maybe my 10-month-old won't. Maybe he'll be more free-spirited. I don't know. But I think you really just have to know yourself and know these natural things about you and really be in tune with yourself that way. And if you are by nature a more organic and messy person, like it's cool if you don't make your bed. If you're somebody that needs to have, you know, things a little bit more structured and clean and that helps you go on with your day, like make your bed first thing in the morning. I think it's just owning that. And I think, of course, once you understand yourself, of course that translates into parenting and how much energy you have to parent.
I mean, I love that discussion around that because it sounds like what you're talking about is having insight into yourself and like really leaning into the person that you know yourself to be and that you mm-hmm. know that you can parent best when you're coming from that authentic place that's, you know, that's more of who you are.
Yeah, it's really like owning and understanding how to parent to your skill set mm-hmm. and not thinking that you need to parent or be a certain way because it's what society says or what your neighbor's doing or what the girl at baby group says is right. Like, it's nobody's business but your own and for you to figure out what your own is.
Yeah. Well, Laura, I'm dying to know, as a mom podcaster mm-hmm. who's had tons of mom guests on your show, what's the best advice that you've gotten about being a modern day mom? Or what's the best advice that you've heard?
Probably summary of everything I've already said on this podcast, because I swear I just become wiser because I talk to all of these like amazing people. Yeah. But some of the best advice, I mean, we talk about this all the time on our podcast. We always refer to this episode, but Renata Cameron, she is an NFT as well. And she just really spoke to like the transition of parenthood and how you're always a new parent. Like, just because my mom is nearly 70 years old and she's got 30-year-olds as children, it doesn't mean that she's no longer a new mom. She's a new mom to a 34-year-old. You know what I mean?
That's such a fantastic point.
Yeah. And like, she's a new mom and trying to navigate how to... I recently had a miscarriage and she's trying to navigate, how do I talk to my daughter about her miscarriage? Like, that's a new mom thing for her. And we're always new moms, like, because it's always a new stage for us. Mm-hmm. So, that was amazing advice. The other advice was actually something that just recently came up in conversation. I was listening back. We usually record a lot of our content far in advance. And I was listening back to this episode, and our guest, her name is Andrea Madrill, and she's the founder of Sunflower Motherhood, who creates these beautiful gift baskets and boxes for postpartum mamas. I mean, she works with like pregnant moms too, but she creates just these baskets that are like all the things you really need postpartum, not flowers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, what else do people send? Balloons. Like, who needs flowers and balloons? Really, you guys, stop sending
baby
flowers
gifts.
And balloons.
Yeah. Or like, baby gifts even... for newborns that they'll grow yeah. out in like a week.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I have like 20 blankets. I don't need any more blankets, right. What I need is like stuff to help me physically recover, and yeah. I need something to clean my house, and I need food.
Amen.
I need nothing else. So I don't need somebody to come hold the baby. Like, I've got to feed the baby and the baby is asleep. Like, don't come over and hold the yeah. baby while I clean the house. Like, you clean the house. Like, yeah. that's what I need, right?
I recently listened to that episode of your podcast and I just loved the conversation around like, we were talking about like what real parenthood looks like and the conversations that parents aren't having before they become parents. And I think just having the knowledge of what would really be helpful after having a baby or what people don't tell you about that postpartum stage is so important to have a conversation about.
Oh, totally. And what I loved from that episode is I got so many messages from people that are not parents or people that are older and have been, you know, had a newborn in a while or are younger and just like, can't wait to see the baby. And these messages were like, I feel like such an ass because I've been not treating these moms the way that they need to be treated. Like, I'm always in such a rush to go see the baby. I never ask, how's the mom doing? Yeah. So, you know, a lot of that stuff we gain through experience, right? But what Andrea said, she said something, she was like, look, it's not a matter of being scared about parenthood or about labor and delivery or about all that stuff. It's a matter of being prepared. And it's better to be prepared than it is to be scared. So that was a piece of advice that like just really resonated with me.
I mean, that's something that we talk about on our podcast too, is that I think it's important to talk about that real stuff because it's so much better to be, you know, informed and to have that knowledge than to just come in and be totally blindsided. Because I think a lot of times that's where things like postpartum depression can stem from is, you know, in addition to obviously the lack of sleep and all of that, but is, you know, not being informed about what it could really look like or being totally unprepared.
Like, I was completely unprepared for having a baby. And that's, like, the problem, too. Like, I feel like in our society, and they teach you about all the things, the products you need, the, you know, maybe breastfeeding. We, like, have, like, a course or an hour conversation about that, which, like, breastfeeding to me is such a learning curve, which seems like, it seems like such a natural thing, but it's seriously, like, a learning curve. And a lot of the time it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of shame and guilt and all that associated because we put so much pressure on mothers to breastfeed. But like for me, it was like taking a breastfeeding course before having a baby. Like I was glad to know like there were such things as like a clogged duct or like there's engorgement and you're going to go through like when your milk comes in, like understanding that that's going to happen. But I'm telling you, when my milk came in with my first kid, I thought I was going to die. I called my OBGYN. I'm not joking. And I said to her, I cried to her on the phone. I was like, no, I think I'm dying. Like, I don't know what's going on, but like, I feel I'm so hormonal. Like, I just want to cry. Like my boobs, like they hurt, like they're going to fall. Like they're going to explode. I don't know what's happening, but like, I'm dying and you need to see me today. And she's like, okay, you're just like 4 days postpartum. This is normal. But like, honestly, like you don't take a whole lot in while you're pregnant, especially with your first. You take in, you know, how you want your nursery to look. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I think there's so many more things that we really need to prepare women for. And that was kind of the basis of that particular episode, was because we wanted to talk about all the things that nobody talks about. Because I say it's God's sick joke. But basically, we go through all this stuff as new moms, and then we forget it all and how bad it is. Like, we know it was bad. Yeah. We don't remember all the details because we're so damn sleep deprived. And then we forget, and then we do it again. And then we don't tell our friends how bad it was because we want them to have kids, too. So it's God's sick joke to, like, continue to have people on this planet.
Yeah.
Is that a horrible thing to say? I just think it's kind of funny.
No, I think it's totally accurate.
Absolutely. And I know a couple of people right now that are pregnant, and the first thing I tell them is about the wonderful underwear that they're going to pick up at the hospital, the witch hazel pads that they should get extra boxes off from the hospital, the cream, you know, these things. And they look at me like a deer caught in headlights. I'm like, no, trust me. Remember this. You need this.
I mean, it's the reason our very first episode of our podcast is called Shit They Don't Tell You. And it's called that because we literally just talked about all the stuff that nobody talks about parenthood that, you know, catches so many people off guard.
Yeah. Like, seriously, the things that they give you, those things at the hospital, but like, first of all, they never give you enough. And then you have to like steal them. And then it's awkward. And like, they like kind of shame you with their eyes because you're taking so much stuff from them. So with my second, I like created little boxes of the things I needed and put them in my bathroom.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I feel like people tell you like certain things, but not all of the things.
Right.
Like
right.
I felt like my guts were going to fall out for 3 days, for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice catch.
Hey, no, it's a shared experience. Anybody who's had a kid probably has felt the same way. So what message would you want to send to parents? What message would you want parents to take away about parenting in this generation?
Yeah, you know, like mostly, and this is so simple, you guys, it's so, everything is so simple. If you really think about it, nothing is as complex as we make it out to be. We make everything harder than it has to be, and I am the first to do it. So let's just leave it at that. But honestly, you do you. Try not to have judgment against others. Be accepting. Everybody's going to do it different. Everybody's just finding their way. Everybody's on their journey. Enjoy your journey. You don't want to get to the destination because then it's all over. And like, own it. Own your motherhood. And if you need help, like, lean in and ask for help.
Yeah. I love that. Own your motherhood.
Yeah.
Well, so how could our listeners find your podcast? How can they get in touch with you? Just where can they find you?
Yeah, sure. So you can find the Generation.Mom podcast anywhere you listen to quality podcasts. Our, like I said in the beginning of this episode, our URL is literally Generation.Mom. Our Instagram handle is at Generation.Mom. That is really where we spend the most time. So you can send a DM and let us know that you liked this episode with Is It Bedtime Yet? There, we actually do respond. And it's really important for us to connect with our listeners and showcase their stories too. So yes, if you're looking for either Jen or myself, you can find us in basically one of those two places. And then I'm available on Instagram too, at Lara Schulte, just my name, L-A-R-A. And then last name is Schulte, S-C-H-U-L-T-E. But you can just find me through the Generation.Mom bio as well.
Lara, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your podcast with our listeners and just for joining us in a discussion about modern day motherhood.
Yes, thank you so much, and just truly an honor to talk to you ladies.
And for our listeners, don't forget to check out Generation.Mom. And if you have any questions for us or thoughts about this episode, you can email us at isitbedtimeyetpodcast@gmail.com. You could also find us on Instagram, Is It Bedtime Yet Podcast, with underscores between each of the words, and on Facebook, Is It Bedtime Yet Podcast. And check out our Patreon, Is It Bedtime Yet Podcast. Don't forget, we have tons of cool merch on there, exclusive content, so you won't want to miss that. And until next time, this is Dr. Jen and Dr. Serene asking, Is It Bedtime Yet?